As we study God's Word this evening, we're going to see how Jesus shows us His grace, the Father shows us His love, and we have fellowship with the Holy Spirit. We have a special connection together because of the things that we believe. What a comfort to know that we believe in the one true God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen. Praise be to you, Lord, the God of our father Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. For everything in heaven and earth is yours. You are exalted as head over all. In your hands are strength and power to exalt and give strength to all. Dear friends, let us approach God with a true heart and confess our sins, asking Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to forgive us. Lord of life, I confess that I am by nature dead in sin, for faithless worrying and selfish pride, for sins of habit and sins of choice, for the evil I have done and the good I have failed to do, you should cast me away from your presence forever. O Lord, I am sorry for my sins. Forgive me for Jesus' sake. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. In His great mercy, God made us alive in Christ even when we were dead in our sins. He died once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. Hear the word of Christ through His called servant. I forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. O Triune God, your name was placed on us when we were baptized. We worship you this day as three divine persons in one God. Grant us your grace to continue in this faith until we sing your praises in heaven. We pray these things through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Our first scripture reading is from Genesis 1, verse 1 to chapter 2, verse 3. These are the words of God as He created all things in the Garden of Eden. Notice that all three persons of the Trinity were there, not only taking part in creating things there, but also in creating Adam and Eve. They were made in God's image, just as God wanted them to be. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was undeveloped and empty. Darkness covered the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the waters. God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. God saw that the light was good. He separated the light from the darkness. He called the light day, and the darkness He called night. There was evening, and there was morning, the first day. God said, "Let there be an expanse between the waters, and let it separate the water from the water." God made the expanse, and He separated the water that was below the expanse from the water that was above the expanse, and it was so. God called the expanse sky. There was evening and morning the second day. God said, "Let the waters under the sky be gathered to one place, and let the dry land appear," and it was so. The waters under the sky gathered to their own places, and the dry land appeared. God called the dry ground land, and the gathering places of the waters He called seas. God saw that it was good. God said, "Let the earth produce plants, vegetation that produces seeds, and trees that bear fruit with seed in it, each according to its own kind on the earth," and it was so. The earth brought forth plants, vegetation that produces seed according to its own kind, and trees that bear fruit with seed in it, each according to its own kind. And God saw that it was good. There was evening and there was morning the third day. God said, "Let there be lights in the expanse of the sky to divide the day from the night, and let them serve as markers to indicate seasons, days, and years. Let them serve as lights in the expanse of the sky to give light on the earth." And it was so. God made the two great lights, the greater light to rule the day, and the lesser light to rule the night. He also made the stars. God set these lights in place in the expanse of the sky to provide light for the earth, to rule over the day and over the night, and to divide the light from the darkness. God saw that it was good. There was evening, and there was morning, the fourth day. God said, Let the waters swarm with living creatures, and let birds and other winged creatures fly above the earth in the open expanse of the sky. God created the large sea creatures and every living creature that moves, with which the waters swarm, according to their own kind, and every winged bird according to its own kind. God saw that it was good. God blessed them when he said, Be fruitful and multiply. Fill the waters of the seas, and let birds multiply on the earth. There was evening, and there was morning, the fifth day. God said, Let the earth produce living creatures according to their own kind, livestock, creeping things, and wild animals according to their own kind, and it was so. God made the wild animals according to their own kind, and livestock according to their own kind, and everything that creeps on the ground according to its own kind. God saw that it was good. God said, Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the sky, and over the livestock, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that crawls on the earth. God created man in his own image. In the image of God he created him. Male and female he created them. God blessed them and said to them, Be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the sky, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. God said, Look, I have given you every plant that produces seed on the face of the whole earth, and every tree that bears fruit that produces seed. It will be your food. To every animal on the earth and to every bird of the sky, and to everything that creeps on the earth, in which there is the breath of life, I have given every green plant for food, and it was so. God saw everything that he had made, and indeed it was very good. There was evening and there was morning, the sixth day. The heavens and the earth were finished, along with everything in them. On the seventh day God had finished his work that he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work that he had been doing. God blessed the seventh day and set it apart as holy, because on it he rested from all his work of creation he had done. Our psalm for this evening is Psalm 150. This psalm praises God for his creation. Please join me in reading it together. Praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in the expanse that shows his might. Praise him for his acts of power. Praise him according to his abundant greatness. Praise him with a blast of the ram's horn. Praise him with a harp and the lyre. Praise him with hand drums and dancing. Praise him with the strings and the flute. Praise him with the sounding cymbals. Praise him with loud cymbals. The gospel lesson is from Matthew chapter 28, verses 16 through 20. As Jesus ascended into heaven, he gave his instructions to the disciples. And notice how he told them to make more disciples. It was by using the triune God, doing things, and in particular here, baptizing in the name of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had directed them. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some hesitated because they were uncertain. Jesus approached and spoke to them, saying, All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and gather disciples from all nations by baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and by teaching them to keep all the instructions I have given you. And surely I am with you always until the end of the age. God's word for our study and encouragement are verses from 2 Corinthians 13, verses 11 through 14. Finally, brothers, goodbye. Aim for perfection. Listen to my appeal. Be of one mind. Live in peace. And the God of love and peace will be with you. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All the saints send their greetings. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Dear Christian friends, There are a lot of circumstances in which you want to know the truth about something. You're a parent, something happens at home with the kids, and you're wondering what went on. You want to know what the truth is, what really happened here, how did this get broken, or how did this happen? You want to know. Maybe you're on a jury sometime, and you hear all the evidence against someone who's accused of a crime, and you're wondering what's the truth. Is the person innocent? Are they guilty? Something you need to figure out. A lot of people, I think, wonder about the truth when it comes to spiritual things. For those that don't have any instruction in the Bible, I'm sure they're left to try and decide what is the truth and what isn't. Is God real? Is there a heaven or a hell? If there is, how do you get there? It's a lot of people that don't know. They don't understand. Even a guy like Pontius Pilate, he asked, what is truth, as Jesus stood in front of him? You and I are gathered here tonight on a Thursday night, and we've been able to sing together and pray together and hear God's word together. And it's such a comforting thing because we're united by something here this evening, and that is the truth. We know who the one true God is. And because we do, we have the grace of the Lord Jesus. We have the love of God the Father, and we have the fellowship, that special connection of faith, through the work of the Holy Spirit. This reading for tonight is Paul's last letter to the Corinthians. He has spent a lot of time writing back to them after he had started that church. There are lots of problems to deal with that you can read about in 1 Corinthians. Well, now this is the end of the second book. And before Paul signs off, he encourages the people to do something. And he talks about God's blessings. And then right at the end, he uses what you and I call the apostolic blessing. In other words, the blessing that the apostles used in New Testament times. And sometimes we use this at the end of our worship services. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. That blessing was intended to remind God's people of the things that Father, Son, and Holy Spirit had done to save them and give them their faith and to help them continue in their faith while they were here on this earth. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. I talk about that word grace a lot, and we hear it in Scripture a lot. Paul uses it a lot as God inspired him to write his epistles. Remember what grace is? It's a special kind of love. It's undeserved love. And when we're thinking about Jesus, as Paul does here, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we're thinking about the motivation that Jesus has for coming into this world and saving everyone from their sins. Did people deserve it? Did they earn it? No. Grace is undeserved love. It's the kind of love that is there for no reason at all. There was no reason for Jesus to come here other than his Father's plan of salvation. There was nothing in any person that would invite Jesus to come here because everyone here on earth is a sinner. It's only because of that undeserved love that Jesus would leave his home and come here, that he would take our place, live our life, die our death, pay for our sins, carry the guilt and shame of sin, and then go home again to prepare a place for us. There's no other explanation for his love than its grace. It's undeserved. No one knew that better than the Apostle Paul. He was the most unlikely person to ever come to faith. And you know his history. You know what he did as a persecutor of Christians. And as Paul was writing this to these believers in Corinth, I can't help but wonder if Paul was thinking about how God had brought him to faith. He set it for Damascus, looking for more Christians to arrest and bring back to Jerusalem, when Jesus appears to him for no reason at all. Paul wasn't looking for Jesus, but he went to look for Paul and brought Paul to faith and forgave his sins. And then on top of that, Jesus asks Paul to be an apostle, to be one that's sent out by God to share this good news. Paul didn't deserve any of it, but that's not what grace is. It's undeserved love of God. That's the only motivation that God has to send Jesus here or for Jesus to come into that earth so that he could save people from their sins. God's grace has been shown to us. We're just like Paul. It doesn't matter what sins we've committed or how many times we've sinned against God. None of us is deserving of what God has for us. There is no reason for God to love us. or to even look for us or seek us out. But that grace, that undeserved love, that's what the Savior shows us as he comes here and takes our place, pays for our sins, takes our shame and guilt, and makes that home in heaven possible for us. We believe in the one true God, and because we do, we have the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. One of the problems that Paul had dealt with in Corinth were people who were being selfish. Some of them were being self-centered. It's right in the very first chapter in 1 Corinthians where the believers in that congregation, they had divided up based on which apostle they liked better. And it wasn't just having a favorite. They were literally dividing the church up into different groups because of it. And it sounds as if the people were saying, well, you believe in Peter? Huh, we believe in Paul. You should come over here with us. As if they were downgrading each other and being critical of each other because of who they were following and the things that they believed. It was very divisive, and it really threatened the truth of God's word. And it was that sinful selfishness that really got them into trouble. Instead of being humbled by their sins and realizing that they didn't deserve anything and putting their trust in God and not in the apostles or trying to look to them for their guidance, they should have realized who they were and what God had made them. And how the apostles didn't really matter as long as they were sharing God's word. Sometimes you and I might be tempted to do the same thing. I'm a Christian, and then I can look down on other people that aren't Christians. Or you should do things my way, not your way. Maybe we start thinking that even among fellow Christians we're better than they are because we do this or we do that. The devil would love it if we would forget what the object of our faith is, and then just start getting into all kinds of trouble by being self-centered and having self-interests instead of putting the emphasis on God and His Word. None of us deserves anything. Even as a Christian, we don't deserve anything from God. We're all the same. Jesus has come here to show us His grace, His undeserved love, and that's what we have. That love that saves us, that love that forgives our sins, that love that continues to guide and direct our lives. We believe in the one true God, and because we do, we have this grace of Jesus, and we have the love of the Heavenly Father. For people that have never had the chance to study the Bible before, God and who He is something that they don't understand. I've heard people say that God must be angry because He's doing all these bad things here on earth. God must be up there in heaven, and they think of Him as being unapproachable and unconcerned about people down here on earth. Sometimes people blame God for the things that are going wrong in their life because they think, well, God's in control. All this bad stuff's happening to me, so it must be God's fault that this is happening. They don't really understand who God is. But God is far from unapproachable or unconcerned or any of those things. A good word to describe what God is love. In love, we heard Him creating the world in a perfect way for Adam and Eve to enjoy, a perfect place in every way. In love, God created Adam and Eve in His own image. Let us, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, make man in our image, which meant that Adam and Eve were perfect and they could live that way. Even after Adam and Eve fell into sin, God didn't throw them out of the Garden of Eden right away. He first made a promise of sending a Savior into the world. That was an act of love. And then when Jesus comes into the world, He does exactly what His Father had planned for Him to do. John 3:16, God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him will never perish but have eternal life. That's love. I love these verses from 1 John chapter 1. John says, how great is the love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are. A lavish gift is over the top. God is not unapproachable. He is not unconcerned. He loves every single person in the world and wants to show them His love. God has shown His love for you and me. He created our life here. He gives us our time of grace. He gives us the opportunity to believe in Him. Throughout our lives, He blesses us with the things that we need. And through our faith, He's guiding us through this life until we can finally get home to heaven someday. God shows us His love in everything that He does. He He's holy. He's perfect. He has to keep his promises. And what a blessing to know that we have that love of God the Father who protects us and hears our prayers and watches over us every single day. We believe in the one true God. And because we do, we have the love of the Heavenly Father. As a parent, you know that you've had to or still take care of your kids, and you have to provide for them and watch out for them and take care of them. And one of the things that parents have to do for their children is to discipline them when they need it. Sometimes kids get confused about that because mom and dad say that they love you, but then they discipline you, and the two don't seem to go together. If mom and dad really love me, why would they discipline me? Well, kids get confused about that. You ever get confused about that as an adult? God loves us. The Heavenly Father cares about us more than we could ever understand. If you ever get confused, then when difficult things come into your life and you and I are tempted to say, why? Where's God? What's he doing? I thought he was in control. Doesn't God love me? Because sometimes we think God loves us. Why are these things then happening? Why do they happen? Is God forgetting about us? Is he not taking care of us? Why do they happen? It's precisely because God loves us, just like parents love their children and want them to learn the right things. God shows his love for us in everything that happens in our lives, even when he chooses to guide us and discipline us and be an example for us. Even then, he's showing his love for us. He's never promised that our life here would be perfect, and we shouldn't expect it. God loves us so much, he never wants us to stray away from him. And that same kind of parental love for children, that's how our Heavenly Father is taking care of us too. We have and know and believe in the one true God. And because we do, we have the love of God the Father, and we have a third blessing. We have the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. That word fellowship means to have a special connection together. And it's not talking about where we live or where we're from or what our interests are. When that word is used in the Bible, it's only talking about our faith. Fellowship means being united in the things that we believe. We have the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. This is 1 John 1 verse 3. John says, "We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard so that you may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ." Paul, again, is thinking about the Corinthians and how they had divided up. Paul says, no, don't do that. Have fellowship together. Be united in the things that you believe. And that's the work of the Holy Spirit. He creates faith. He strengthens faith. He helps us live in a way that pleases God. And for Christians, when they have that fellowship, they have that special connection of faith that gets stronger all the time. Some think of the Holy Spirit as kind of a mysterious being, but he really isn't. We know who the Holy Spirit is. He's part of the triune God. He was there at creation. He was there when Jesus, for example, was baptized. We know the Holy Spirit prays for us when we don't know what to pray for ourselves. We know the Holy Spirit uses God's Word and he uses the sacraments to strengthen believers' faith or to create faith. And when the Holy Spirit is living in a believer, that gives them fellowship with those that believe as they do. You and I have had the Holy Spirit living in our hearts ever since we were brought to faith, maybe way back to our baptisms. The Holy Spirit created that faith and he's kept that faith going all these years. And what a blessing to be united in the things that the Bible teaches, to be united in those truths about God and his plan of salvation. Not only do we have that unity as an individual church, but we have that as a synod. Synod means walking together. Our Wisconsin Synod churches believe all those same things so that we have fellowship. We're joined together in the things that we believe. And that's exactly what God wants us to do. Hold on to the truth of his word, because it's through that truth alone that we can have the gift of salvation. We believe in the one true God. Because we do, we have the fellowship that only the Holy Spirit can give us by faith. I was talking to someone quite a while ago, and they asked me about the differences between the churches. There's so many churches out there. How do you know which one is right and which one isn't? My main point for this person was real simple. The church either believes and teaches and practices what the Bible says, or they don't. It's that easy. Here's what God wants us to do and teach and preach, and that's it. We follow His Word. We follow His teachings. Well, then the person said, well, what if you just changed a couple of teachings? Well, what about this and what about that? And they kept asking questions, and finally they said, well, don't all steeples point to heaven? Can't you just believe in whatever you want to believe and still get the same result in the end? And they thought that that would be okay. But that's not what God tells us, is it? Holding on and having fellowship as a Christian means believing the teachings of the Bible. That's good for us to remember, too. Even as we sit here in church tonight, fellowship is a very important teaching. Sometimes it's easy to think that holding on to the Bible isn't that important. A lot of people out there in the world, they want to compromise the Bible and change it. God wouldn't want us to change a single thing. Remember what Paul said in Galatians 5, a little bit of yeast works through the whole batch of dough. One change in the Bible's teachings and it's going to end up changing everything. Sometimes it might be convenient not to talk so much about fellowship if you're with people that wouldn't understand it or don't want to hear it. God doesn't want us to be shy about what we believe with His teachings. He wants us to understand how important it is to believe in the teachings of the Bible. Only with those teachings that God has given us can we be saved. We're not to change a single thing, but hold on to that truth so that we honor God and understand and believe the truth, and then we become an example to other people. God would want them to do the same thing. We believe in the one true God, and because we do, we're blessed to have, by God's grace, this fellowship with the Holy Spirit, so that we understand and believe the truth and have the gift of salvation. A lot of people wonder what the truth is in everyday life. Thank the Lord, as we sit here tonight, we know what the truth is in our spiritual life. We know who the one true God is and what He has done for us. May we continue to thank Him each and every day. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all of our human understanding, keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. We join in confessing our faith using the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through Him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, He came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became fully human. For our sake He was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day He rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and His kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who in unity with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.